Yeah, it's good to see everybody out this evening. For the wonderful Grand Version to be able to come out and study God's Word and to be here. We again welcome out the visitors that are with us this evening. So I think most of the visitors here have been here numerous times and well known. So we're happy to have you, always happy to have you, and always welcome you back each and every opportunity that you're able to be with us. As we continue our lives upon this earth and understanding why it is we need our Lord and Savior, why it is we needed His sacrifice, it's because of our sins. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and therefore we need that gift of God. We need the grace of God in order to have our sins forgiven, because we cannot inherit that reward that God has given us the opportunity to have without that sacrifice. So I want to ask the question this evening is, will you find grace in the sight of the Lord in the end? Will you be one who finds grace in the sight of God? To the extent that when we talk about the grace being a gift, and there's so many gifts that God, of course, has blessed us with. He's blessed us with life. He's blessed us with having dominion over this earth. He's blessed us with the knowledge and understanding. And of course, He's given us His Word so that we can understand it. And He's blessed us by sending His Son down to die for us. And of course, He's blessed us with today, allowing us another day to examine our lives. But this evening, I want to take some time, a few minutes this evening, just to look at a few examples and ask if we would, in that scenario, find grace inside of God. And at the end of the lesson, try to apply it to today, to the mindset of, will we stand up for God? Will we do our part? And to the extent that we will find favor in the sight of God when it comes to that day. If you will, open your Bibles and turn to Genesis with me. We'll be starting in Genesis 6, where I believe that if you know the story of Noah and the ark, that's where the title of come is, Noah found grace in the sight of God. The first point I want to look at before we read that verse is look at the point that wages of sin is death. But we can open up the textbook of the Bible and find the verse that strictly points to that. We know that in Genesis, in the beginning with Adam and Eve, that God said, you shall surely die if they ate of the tree of knowledge and evil. Knowledge. And we know that that was the answer Eve even gave to the serpent. As she was asked if he was allowed to eat of this tree. She understood that answer. We can see here that this was the consequences of sin. As God continued to look at mankind, He continues on that point. That as we continue in sin, we will be punished. So Genesis chapter 6 and in verse 6, Genesis 6, and starting there in verse 6, it says, and the Lord was sorry that He had made man on earth, and He was grieved in His heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made man. Look at this. God is sorry that He made mankind. He always said that in man's heart, it was continuously evil thoughts. It was continuously wickedness. And in verse 13, that's what He tells Noah, that He is going to destroy the world. It says, and God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. God has said in His mind, He's done. He's going to wipe out everybody on this earth. He's going to destroy the earth. Look at another example in Genesis chapter 18, if you will. Genesis chapter 18, and read along with me, starting in verse 20. Genesis 18, and starting here in verse 20, as we talk about Sodom and Gomorrah. And it says, and the Lord said, because of the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah, is great, because their sin is very great. I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against them that has come to me. And if not, I will know. Then the men turned away from there and went toward Sodom, but Abraham still stood before the Lord. Now these men end up going down into Sodom. And of course we know as they go down into Sodom, Lot ends up seeing them. He ends up inviting them in. But look at what these men had to say with the wickedness of the men in the city as they have gathered together to know these men carnally. To know these men wrong. In Genesis 19 and verse 13, it says, "For we will destroy this place because of the outcry against him has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." Once again, we see that the sin, the sinfulness of this city and the other cities around it, Sodom and Gomorrah, God saw it, he has heard the outcry, and he is going to destroy this place. Fire and brimstone fell down on the Sodom and Gomorrah. Once again, the wages of sin is death. If we continue in the same path, we are going to face death. There's a spiritual death that we face when we sin. That we separate ourselves from God. No other person on this earth can separate us from God. God does not leave us. He is always there for you. But when we choose not to accept His word, we choose not to obey the truth, we separate ourselves. We have committed a spiritual death. Again, one more example for this lesson is looking at Numbers chapter 25. I want to keep all these marked. We're going to go back to them a couple times. Numbers 25 and verse 1. Numbers 25 and in verse 1 says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering from everyone." I'm in the wrong spot. Let me get the numbers in Exodus. Numbers chapter 25 and then in verse 1 says, "Now Israel remained in Acacia Grove, and the people began to commit harlotry with the women of Moab. They invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel was joined to Baal of Peor, and the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel. Then the Lord said to Moses, take all the leaders of the people and hang the offenders before the Lord out in the sun, that the fears of the anger of the Lord may turn away from Israel. So Moses said to the judges of Israel, every one of you kill his men who were joined to Baal of Peor." Here, look and see what's taking place here. They have joined together. We talked a little bit about this this morning. They have joined together with other nations. And in doing so, because they didn't look to see who they were surrounding themselves with, because they were not putting God first, but looking to the people around them, wanting to be like everybody else, serving their gods. Of course, we know later on that they sought to have a king like all other nations. The anger of the Lord has come up against them. And not everyone come forward and kill themselves. And the Lord started to strike down Israel. Israel was starting to be punished. And the wages of sin continued to be the point. That is a common point. And it's still the same thing today. Whether we're talking about that spiritual death, or we're talking about the second death that is made mention in Revelation. When we are in sin and we die in our sins, we will face the second death. That is speaking of death. That is speaking of living an eternal life in a lake of fire. Wages of sin is death. But in these examples, in the example of Noah in the flood, in the example of looking at Sodom and Gomorrah, and the example of Moses leading the children of Israel, there is one
There are some who are willing to stand up for what is right. Those who do find grace in the sight of God. A few who found grace. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9, we see here, just simply makes that point, and Noah found grace in the sight of God. Noah found grace in the sight of God because he was one who was continuing to put God first. He was continuing. He wasn't continuing in that path of sin as all others were doing. In Genesis chapter 19, we can see that Lot, as they sent these men down into Sodom to see if it was so or not. We see Lot stand up for these men in Genesis 19 verse 5. It says, "And they called to Lot and said to him, 'Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them to us, that you may know them carnally.' So Lot went out to them through the doorway, shut the door behind them, and said, 'Please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly.'" Lot here standing up. Lot goes out to keep them from doing so. As you jump forward ahead, you would see that Lot finds grace. Lot ends up being saved. These men tell him to get out of the city. They tell him to go to a certain place. He asks him to go somewhere else. But Lot is able to gather his daughters and his wife and leave himself. Lot found grace here. Lot was saved. He had been given the gift, the opportunity to leave town before it was destroyed. And Israel ends up being saved through an act of a man named Phinehas. Numbers 25. We're going to look at the acts more here in a minute. But looking at the simple point that even in a world of wickedness, even in a world of sin and a bunch of the people who continuously go the wrong route, not all of them are evil people into the extent that they're all murderers and thieves and adulterers. Simply some are going the wrong path and not putting God first, but making up new commandments for themselves. Following and keeping the commandments of men. And here in Numbers 25 and verse 11, brings out Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, has turned back my wrath from the children of Israel because he was zealous with my zeal among them, so that I did not consume the children of Israel with my zeal. We're going to talk about what he did here in a second. How many know what Phinehas did? Because that's only my next point, is looking at what these men had to do. Would you have stepped up as these three men had? Would you have been willing to step up in this hard time, this time where so many people are with you, so many people are going the other direction, no one else is there with you, not very many of them. Maybe some family members, maybe one or two others. Would you have stepped up? Would you have built the ark in Genesis chapter 6? Would you have, one, had enough faith to continue to stand for what is right and build this ark? Not understanding what God could truly mean, that he's going to destroy this world, to flood the entire world. We've seen recently, lately, the hurricanes going on, and how the water can do so much destruction. But to imagine that it covered the entire planet, the entire earth. We're here in Kentucky, so far north, in the middle of North America, and we don't worry about the waves getting to us. Here, that the rains covered the entire world, destroyed it. And in Genesis 6 and verse 14, you look at the instructions that were given to Noah here. It says, "Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and the width 50 cubits, and the height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark. You shall finish it to the cubit from above and set the door of the ark in its inside. You shall make it with the lower second and third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing the floodwaters on the earth to destroy
from heaven all flesh, and this is bread, is the bread of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. Everyone he knows, except for his family, his household, is going to be saved. That's the only people that are going to be saved. Everyone else he knows is going to die. How does that mean? Is he able to concentrate enough to continue to work? Would you look at the instructions that he has been given by God and say, God, there ain't a lot of gopher wood around here. I don't know if I got enough to build this ark. Can't I build one big enough just for me, my wife, my sons, and their wives? Why do we need all these other animals? Bringing two of every kind of unclean animal and seven of every clean animal. Would you have been willing to step up and find grace inside of God in this situation? Genesis 19. You look at the story of Lot, once again, we was reading there, and how he was willing to bring these men in. As you continue in that point, that he brought them in, and these men came and pushed against Lot. They were ready to run him over. Now, I can't say for sure if he was right in offering up his daughters. You know, Lot is considered a man of faith. He found grace and was able to leave the city. He was willing to save two strangers. He was willing to stand at the door and try to keep these men of this city away from him. About lost his life because those angels weren't there and blinded the men. And not only that, but when they left, they could not look back in Genesis 19:17. So it came to pass when they had brought them outside of that, he said, escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest you be destroyed. And then he had to continue on after his wife ended up looking back and turning into a pillar of salt. He couldn't stop and look back. He had to continue on. When we found grace inside God, once again, when we look at it, Lot has spent some time in this city, has gotten to know the people. He had a couple of men who were going to marry his daughter. He tried to get them to come with him. They weren't willing to listen. Would you have been able to follow through and find grace inside of God? Numbers 25, looking at the story of Phinehas again. Numbers 25, when you read in verse 7 and 8, what he was willing to do here. It says, now when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose among the congregation, took a javelin in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her body. So the plague was stopped among the children of Israel. Now remember what was said of Phinehas here. It said he was zealous with God's zeal. God said, get rid of this plague. Get rid of these people who are worshiping idols. Get rid of those who are married to those outside because they are bringing in these idols. Here comes one man in front of Moses bringing his Moab wife. And Israel was being plagued because they weren't taking care of it. And Phinehas knew what God had said, so Phinehas stood up and was willing to do what was needed to be done. How many of us have been able to stand up and take care of business as needed to be done? The question is, will we find grace inside of God? Will we find grace inside of God? Because there is a day of judgment coming. There's a day that God has set us up. In 2 Peter 3:10, it says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought
of in godliness. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolving, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and new earth in which righteousness dwells. There is a day that our Father knows, and he alone knows, of which he has set aside to destroy this world, that we will face our Lord who will judge us. Will he give you the gift of the keys to the kingdom of heaven? Be able to enter in? Be able to hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? Or have we continued in a path of sin? Have we not repented of our sins? Have we not turned to Jesus and washed away our sins? There's no middle ground. It's only one or the other. Will we find grace in the sight of God on that day? Or are we too ashamed to stand up for what is right? Look at what Paul has to say here in 2 Timothy 1. In 2 Timothy 1, how he is not ashamed of the gospel, how he's willing to stand up for what is right, how he's willing to preach the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 8 says, "But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly, for the sinners, for the unholy and profane, and murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for the manslayers, for fornicators, for the sodomites, for the kidnappers, for liars, for the perjurers, and there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel, blessed of God, which was committed in my trust. And I thank God, Christ." It's a good reading skill. Brings out the point. Brings out the point that there will be those who are punished. What I was meaning to read, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 8, not 1 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy 1 verse 8 says, "Remember that Jesus Christ is the seed of David." 1 and verse 8. "So therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share with me in the suffering of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with this holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and the grace which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of the Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him." He's not ashamed. He's willing to stand up. He doesn't go into sin. He doesn't give up. Because with everything going on, that comes down to the question, especially in today's time. That is the world's way to try to make us ashamed, to make us feel guilty for standing up with what God has said is right and wrong. He'll say things like, you can't live with me being happy in what I'm doing. I just want to be happy, so let me be. We'll make it sound like we're the wrong ones and not. And we're standing up for the Word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 15. It says, "Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For doing this will save both yourself and those who hear." And once again, you look at the example we looked at this evening. Because of Noah and his willingness to continue to obey God, he was able to save his wife
his sons and their wives. You look at the example of Lot, again, he was able to save his daughters. And you look at the example of Phinehas as he was able to keep the rest of Israel from dying. Because they were willing to stand up. And due to our actions, due to the decision of continuing to fight for God, the decision to continue to put God first, to shine our light, to understand you don't get to forgive anybody's sins, that's still God's heart. But because you shine your light, because you're doing the work of God, because you are zealous in God's zeal, you can help lead others in the right direction. You can show them to the path of God so that God can forgive their sins. And you will save both you and those who've seen your light. So we send the invitation this evening and ask the question, asking the question, will you find grace inside of God? If tonight is the night, are you ready? If you are here and you need to obey the gospel, we can help you with that. If you are here and you need prayer and congregation, whatever we can do for you, we let it be known as we stand.
Number 161. Sing all five verses with 161.